Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people. Live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God, we're going to start a new teaching on faith, our way of life. Again, faith, our way of life. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse number 7. And it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, please turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 10. Again, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, the Bible instructs the believer he should walk by faith and not by sight or by the natural things that he can see. And that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The person who identifies as a believer needs to have a clear understanding of the principles of faith and how faith connects the promises of God in their lives. As a young child, I was raised in a denominational church, a CME, Christian Methodist Episcopal Church, And as far as I can remember, I was not taught anything about faith. As a matter of fact, I cannot remember any message on faith or how to live by faith. We have many on salvations and being redeemed from your sins, but not one on faith. So when I was finally exposed to faith, it was all new to me and, to be honest, confusing to me, because I never heard of the word of faith, not in a relationship to the word of God. I would have never known that faith was the missing ingredients for me having the personal contact with the Father. Now turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verse number 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. Now notice that verse did not say without praise and worship or without prayer it was impossible to please him. No, it said without faith it is impossible to please him. How could I please him if I didn't know anything about faith? And how could I be rewarded if I didn't diligently seek him? Well, I couldn't. And I wasn't, because the church I was involved in did not teach me these things. So all of my childhood and early portion of my adult life, I knew nothing regarding faith. Knew nothing at all regarding faith. So in this teaching, we plan to examine faith in several dynamics. And I plan to go line upon line and precept upon precept. I will not be in a hurry, because it is my desire that those who hear this message will get spiritual understanding of faith. The Bible will be our main reference point. But I will also be using the book entitled How Faith Works by the Godfather of Faith himself and my pastor in the faith, the late Apostle Frederick K.C. Price. I welcome any questions one might have regarding this teaching, so we can learn and grow together regarding this important subject. Now please turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 17. And it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the conscience of his friend." Amen. So we're going to sharpen each other. Amen. So we can have a complete understanding of faith. Now, the first thing I want to establish is the importance of faith. As I said earlier, the most important subject for a person to learn after they are born again, in my opinion, is how to walk and live by faith. There is nothing more important than learning to walk by faith, in my opinion. I do not want to belittle the importance of the other spiritual things as though they are not important, but rather, I am talking about priority. Now, I want you to remember that word, priority. I am talking about the fact that faith is the number one course of study in sequence to other things. Now, let's look at faith versus love. That's faith versus love. Now, there are some that say that love is the most important thing. Now, I am not advocating that faith takes the place of love. That's not what I'm saying. But keep in mind, I am dealing with priority. You need to learn about faith, before you learn about love. And the reasoning for that is you're going to have to learn how to love people by faith. Amen. Now, there are some people, and it seems like there is one in every family, every group, every club. It doesn't make a difference, that is hard to get along with, no matter how well you treat that individual. And you are going to have dissensions with that person. If you don't have faith, and if you do not know how to operate in it, you are not going to be able to love that person. Now, we know some people use 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Please go there with me right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. We know some people use this as their defense for love being the greatest. But let me tell you that I believe that is not so. So 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And it says, "And now abide in faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now, in reading that passage of Scripture, Apostle Price, in his book, How Faith Works, says that it seems you might think that I am contradicting what I said about faith being a priority. But he says we need to understand what we are reading. We need to get complete understanding. Now, see, when we understand something completely, the way God sees it is the way we should see it. The way God says it is the way we should say it. The way God does it is the way we should do it. And the results God gets is the same results we should get. Why? Because we understand it. Amen. Now, Apostle Price, in this book, How Faith Works, says, the problem is that people have taken that last part of 1 Corinthians 13, and that last part is, "But the greatest of these is love." They've taken that, extracted it from its setting, and used it as a principle. They've taken it out and used it as a principle. They interpret it as saying love is more important than anything else. However, that is not what Paul is writing about. To understand it in context, you have to read chapters 12 and 14. To help you understand, Apostle Price gave us clarifications on the setting. There were problems in the church at Corinth in terms of the people not understanding fully how to operate in the things of the Spirit. As a result, they were confused and misunderstanding. We know that confusion and misunderstanding did not come from God, because he is not the author of confusion. The Bible tells us he is not the author of confusion. Therefore, the body of Corinth was not being edified as it could have been edified if they had understood how to flow in the Spirit. So Paul inserted 1 Corinthians 13 right between chapters 12 and chapters 14 to show the people, in order to operate in chapters 12 and 14, they should do it out of a motive of love. See, sometimes in order to get the complete context of a particular passage, you have to read either a chapter, even two chapters before, even after, to get the total concept of what the Word of God is speaking about. There's a person by the name of Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, and Tony Evans. All are great, wonderful, motivational speakers. And Mr. Evans is also a pastor in his own right. Now, like these men being motivators, love is the greatest motivator. Amen. Love is the greatest motivator. The primary motive by which one should do anything is love. That should be our motive, is love. There is no greater motivator than love. In other words, I ought to serve God because I love him. I ought to pay my tithes, offerings, and gifts of love because I love God. I ought to live right because I love God. I ought to read the Word, study the Word, and pray because of a motive of love. I ought to live and to give to my brothers and sisters. I ought to lay hands on the sick because I love. Amen. Now watch this. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We are, our motives should be a motive of love, not selfishness or deceit or arrogance. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. And it says, he who does not have love does not know God, for God is love. Amen. Now, you know, the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that we were made in his image and likeness. So if God is love, our greatest motivator is love, then guess what? We are love also because we're made in his image and likeness. Amen. So our motive should be a motive of love. I should not lay hands on the sick to show how powerful a man of faith I am, to get that person healed, then stand back and gloat saying, look what I've done. I'm really special. I got that person healed. No, I should be ministering to that person out of a motive of love. Amen. Can I share a principle with you? Let me share this principle with you. Love is the motivator, but faith is the activator. Let me repeat that principle again. Love is the motivator, but faith is the activator. Now go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse number 6. And it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith worketh through love. Faith worketh through love. That's what I want to highlight in that scripture. Faith working through love. Now, what does that mean, that faith working through love? It means the motive by which your faith operates should be love. Amen. If God is love and we call ourselves believers, followers of Christ, then we should do it out of a motive of love. Amen. However, now we are not talking about the activator, which is faith. That is why faith is more important than love. It is more important than love because you actually cannot love people unless you love them by faith. Amen. In order to love people as brothers and sisters in Christ, you have to love them by faith. Faith works by a motive of love. But even though it is not written, love works by faith. Now I want you to think with me for a moment. We all have relatives, friends, and people we work with, and people we know that are hard to love. There are some people who are even hard to like, let alone trying to love them. In such cases, you will have challenges if you do not know how to operate by faith. That is also why some of you have challenges interacting with other Christian brethren. Amen. Because you do not know how to operate by faith. We all have our special personalities, and most of the time we try to be ourselves. But yet, you do not always come off that way with others. Other people do not always perceive you the way you want to present yourself. I know that some people feel that way about me, and even some family members think I'm arrogant simply because I found out who I really am. I know who I am in Christ because I have been delivered. I have a purpose in mind of what I've been called to do, and I want God to help me do it. Amen. And I'm focused on that. And I am going to stay focused on that no matter what. It really has nothing to do with me being arrogant, but it is confidence. It's confidence. Confidence in who I am in Christ Jesus. For many people, they have such low self-esteem that they are afraid to be that bold. But that is not my responsibility, and it's not my personality. And it has nothing to do with what arrogance really means. I pray that any problem someone might have with me, that after this teaching, you will learn to love me and all people by faith, just as I have learned to love you by faith. Amen. Now, you must understand, you must relate to others by faith. We have to relate to each other by faith. You're going to have to learn how to relate to people by faith. That is why I believe that faith is more important than love. Now, notice I did not say it was the only thing that you should not have love. But if you do not know how to operate by faith, then you are going to have a challenge relating to others, brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. You never know when you might have to interface with other individuals. Amen. And maybe also in the body of Christ or in some church setting. And it's like dealing with the evil one. You get to the point where you really don't want to talk to that person. In fact, in some cases, you don't want to see them because you don't have any emotional feelings or liking towards them. But you have to get past that. You are going to have to learn to get past that. I should not relate to you because I have a feeling or emotion. I have to do it because God says so. We are commanded to love one another. If I love you, then I have to treat you right. But if your attitude is so ugly, I cannot get past that, if you know what I mean. So in a case as that, I would have to love you by faith. If I can't get past your ugliness or your bad attitude, then I'm truly going to have to learn to love you by faith. That is why faith is so important. Even obedience is by faith. How can you be obedient without faith? You have to operate by faith in order to be obedient. Let's look at tithing, for instance, and paying your tithes and your gifts of love and offering. You have to operate by faith to give away 10% of your income. There is no way you are going to have or going to give away 10% of your income to a God you cannot see unless you understand, that's that word understand again, how faith works. Why are you going to give 10% to a God you cannot see? No, it takes faith in order for that to work. Now, what about prayer? The question might be asked, how do you know a God that you cannot see is going to answer what you just prayed or what you just asked? How do you know he even heard you? Well, of course, his word says that he has, but you have to have faith in his word to believe that he is there and that he heard you and he will answer you. So you have to have faith. Amen. Everything in the kingdom of God is going to be activated and access by faith. That is why it is so important. Let me repeat that. Everything in the kingdom of God is going to be activated and accessed by faith. That's why faith is so important. Now, I'd like to give you a couple of definitions, because definitions brings us understanding. The first word I would like to give the definition of is faith. Faith. And the Greek word for that is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And it translates to faith, belief, trust, and confidence. It carries a deep, rational meaning, often emphasizing fidelity, loyalty, and trustworthiness in both secular and scripture. Amen. Now, the second word is belief. And you know what? We're going to do that next time, because I'm out of time. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.